Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Now, we talked about we were celebrating everything that's gone on. Just a little while ago, we had our 15th birthday as a church. So it's a very young church in the grand scheme of things. And we celebrated all those things that we have been able to accomplish in just a short time. But during that short time, we've also put a lot of investment in. We've taken out loans to make those things happen. We have built this building. If you were part of Stonebridge Church, 1995 started in Dowell Middle School. And it grew so large that they thought, we need a place to call our own. We need a house. We need a home that could be our space, that we can be our base camp for mission out into the world. And so in 1999, they did Celebration Hall, Phase 1. And then I think it was in 2002, 2003, Ministry Center for all the preschool we have here, all the kids' lives who are being touched with Sunday school and the different arts programs that go on, summer camps that go on in that area. And then in 2007... building the Robertson Activity Center here, which we host sports ministries in, which we host the bridge in, which we host all sorts of different things in. And so you have a hard time arguing that this is not an important space. This is not holy ground. This is our house. This is God's house. That's why we call it God's house, is because so many things happen in God's name here, and it's a ministry into itself. And so I want to show you a video of just some of those ministries that have taken place.
In 1997, I moved here from Arkansas to live near my daughter and son-in-law. At that time, I knew one other family in McKinney, and that was Charles and Sandy Williams. And soon after I moved here, they invited me to come to church with them. They wanted me to see their new church that they were a part of. So I came to church with them, and of course, I was hooked. Then in July of that same year, I became the administrative assistant for the church, and served in that capacity for 12 and a half years. And during this time, I saw the church go from 195 members when I first came to over 1,850 members this past year. This has been a real blessing to see the growth of the church, not only from the standpoint of members, but also from the beginning with the building where we met in a school, and then went into three phases of a building program to have what we have now. And then I became a part of the care team as the staff person for the care team during the time that I was on staff. And helping do the different things for the care team was a real blessing to me, to be with people during hardships and also during their joys. We served meals, we did all different types of things, and still do. And then in 1999, I was on the receiving end of the care team when my daughter and son-in-law had triplets, because it took all of us to take care of three babies at once. And the care team came with meals. They brought people to help feed the babies. Some came even in the middle of the night to feed them. Some helped with laundry. Anything that was needed, they were there to do.
I guess growing up in Stonebridge United Methodist Church, it's been, you know, the church has been very important in my life. I've been here since we started in Dow. And growing up, you know, every Sunday it was important, you know, kind of habitual just to get up and go to church. And it was kind of the family routine. And as soon as I got old enough to transfer into the youth program, it was kind of the same thing. It was very habitual and just seemed kind of the norm that every Wednesday after church every Wednesday after school, I was at church. And I guess shortly after going to college, it kind of was an eye-opener that the church meant more than just that habitual getting up and going to do something. You know, the church was a family. It was a community. And it was a place that I could go and unwind and relax and not only just learn about Christ, the Bible, questions, answers, you know, anything. But it was a place to unwind about drama going on in my life as a kid. In my friend's life, it was a place to hang out, and it was a sanctuary away from school, away from stressful just nuisances that I guess kind of stressed out my life when I was younger.
So what makes Stonebridge United Methodist appeal to me, and I think a lot of other members in the church, is the missions and the outreach opportunities that we all have opportunity to take part in. Whether it's the Habitat for Humanity, Red Cross shelters, Disaster Recovery, Meals on Wheels, Living Water, Proacto Abrigio, Family Promise, Samaritan Inn, Hands Across Malvern, Wheelchair Ramp, Building for Seniors, or Vacation Bible Camp. No matter what, there's always something to get involved in. And why that is so appealing to me is because it really allows us to be the hands and feet of Christ. Christianity is not a discipline of being sedentary. It's going out into the community and showing God's love and showing Christ's desire to be one with others. And the minute that we stop doing that as a church, that minute we stop serving Him and we stop doing the things that we've been asked to do as Christians. Having a wonderful building and having a great campus is an excellent opportunity to do outreach, to host things like sports ministry, like Vacation Bible Camp. It's a great place for those missionaries, if you will, to come back, get their batteries charged, and then go back out in the community and do God's work. When I was asked to come in and talk about this, the way the question was posed to me is, what do missions mean to me? And I think the much more important question is, what do missions mean to those that we're doing our work for? Were it not for Stonebridge United Methodist Church and those that go out and do those things, there may not be anybody else to do those for those folks that we're helping. So the question being, what does missions mean to me? It means the world. And I think it means the world to Christ as well.
From the very beginning of not only our church, but the church, it has never been about the building. It's never been about the staff. It's never been about the bills that have been paid. It's been all about the lives that have been transformed, the ministry that's happened, the change in the world, everything that comes through the healing power of Jesus Christ, for the challenging power of Jesus Christ and the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And as you hear all those stories, that's how this church has been built, is not through the buildings didn't come first and then the transformation happened. The transformation happened and the building came afterward because we deemed it acceptable and necessary as a church to expand our footprint in the community, and so to host people and to make them feel welcome. It's an extension of our ministry, and so I hope that you will consider, if you don't have a commitment card today, that next week you will bring it, or that you will support this campaign that we believe will really, really increase our transformational footprint in the world. If you look at it from a day, we always talk about the building when we talk about capital campaign, and that's really what a capital campaign is. It's about building and grounds. It's things the trustees take care of. But think about that. We're talking about what we can use the money for. I would like a show of hands for anyone who would like to take over adult ministries today. I saw a kid raise their hand back there, so that works. That's probably even better. I'll ask for another maybe a round of applause. Clap your hands really loudly if you would love to be the children's director today. There we go. We got one. See? All coming from youth and kids, by the way. So that just shares something about who should we follow. Does it make it more effective to have these things? Absolutely. The building is a ministry into itself. The staff is a ministry into itself. Our grounds are a ministry into themselves. They are welcoming people into our home. Many of you can share stories about how you've come to Stonebridge United Methodist Church and you've felt community, you felt family, you felt welcome, you felt warmth, you felt inspiration, you felt challenged, all those things that come from a healthy family, all those things that come from when you go home and you just feel at ease amongst your parents. I still go to it's not even the house I grew up in, I still go to my parents' house, and just walking in, for whatever reason, feels like home still. And I walk into my house and I feel at home. But at the same time, when I walk into my parents' house, it's this difference because I know they're going to do everything for me. I mean, it's great. I go lounge on the couch. They watch Arden. They, I get to play with toys together, and I get to watch TV sometimes or, cook food or whatever it is that I want to do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go home at the end of the day, the first thing I don't want to do is sit down and pay bills. The first thing I don't want to do is go clean the kitchen. The first thing I don't want to do is go mow the lawn. The first thing I don't want to do is all these chores that make a house a home, right? They make it comfortable. They make it everything that we want to do. Those are the things I don't really want to do. What I want to do when I go home is I want to talk to my wife. I want to play with my child. There are times that I want to hook up the Xbox, that I want to play guitar, that I want to do just things that are leisurely activities, that I can be free, that I don't have any responsibility anymore after a long day of having responsibility. The same can be said for any type of job, for any stay-at-home parents. that when you finally get to that end of the day, you just want to breathe. And you want to relax a little bit. But there's things that have to be done. They're not fun. I know when I sit down and I get on the computer and I start paying bills, that is taxing for me to think, oh my gosh, it cost that much for electricity in July? Did I really use that much water? This is insane. How do I? And then we start freaking out thinking, how do we manage better? How do we reduce better? How, you know, just navigating all these different avenues of where our money is going, where our time is going, and figuring all that out. But there's a strange feeling of even when it takes it's a hard time to write that check. It's a hard time to type the numbers in the computer and hit send payment. That once it's done, it's done. And it's gone. I know I don't have that money anymore. And I know that it's taken care of. I know that I'm going to have power another month. I know I'm going to have water another month. I know that the grass is cut and it looks pretty. I know that the flowers are planted. I know that the kitchen is clean and I don't have to worry about fungus growing or something like that, which if we ever get fungus, I'm calling you guys to come over and help me out. But it turns into this tedious action in the short run into a joyful freedom, a freedom that I don't have to worry about those kind of things. And I hope that all of you are blessed enough as well that you don't have to worry about those things. And if you're not, please let us know, because we want to help out with that. For our church, we're doing this so that we can be free for joyful obedience. We can be free from all other masters, from that law that is burdensome. You saw the video the first week of the debt reduction campaign where Mike Egan was walking around with weights of money bag. It's to take that off of ourselves so that we can be free to call Christ our only master. To call Christ the only one who owns our home, the one who bought the home in the first place, and then we kind of mortgaged it out so that we might grow, so that we might do more for Christ, but now we want to give it back. And we want to have one master and no debt to go about. I remember the most peaceful man I've ever met in my entire life was someone that I barely knew. And perhaps he had something going on in the service, perhaps I didn't see his home life, but it was out in Atlanta my second year of seminary. And we always talked about justice, and we talked about mission in the world. We talked about the church making transformational difference in the world. And, when you get around a bunch of seminary students, we talk a good game. We talk about peace and justice and all these things that we can do for the world. And then we do that within the safe context of a classroom where we don't actually have to face the people that need the most justice, and we don't have to face the consequences of the world and all this kind of thing. So we thought, well, that's wrong. Let's go out and let's do something. And so we went out to Habitat for Humanity in southwest Atlanta, which is not necessarily the greatest area of the world to be in. And we went down there and we started helping out in this house. And we said, we're going to come as much as we can to finish this house, because that's going to be justice. Because this one family is going to have a home over their head that they're going to help pay for, they're going to help build, and this is going to be a great experience for us. And so about six of us went down, and it was a bunch of my housemates, some of our friends. And we started building, and we had hands-on, and we were feeling really good, and we just were thinking about, well, how are we going to get, we're going to get this done in time, and we were working frantically all around the clock, trying to do as much as we could. And again, when you take seminary students and you put power tools in their hands, it's not always the most effective combination in the world. That's not what we're trained in. And so this one gentleman who was not a Habitat staff or anything like that would always come over, and he would show us what to do, and he would, calm down, just, we'll get it done. We'll get it done. Don't worry about it. And as we went back Saturday after Saturday morning, this man was always there. And we come to find out he volunteered every single day on this one house. And when this house was done, he would volunteer the next house every single day until it was done. And so we started eating lunch with this man every Saturday that we were able to make it there. And we said, how do you find the time? Because the man's only something like 58, 59 years old or something like that. And said, how do you have the time? Are you retired? And he said, yeah, I managed to do well in my career. I retired early. And said, one of the times we managed to broach the subject, and he said, if I were retired and I had the amount of money that you had, there's no way I'd be working at Habitat for Humanity. I'd be traveling the world. I'd be, going, doing all these things. I'd have season tickets to the Rangers or the Braves, when we were in Atlanta. I'd do all of these kind of different things. And, he said, I have been blessed with so much. And I just felt like I owed it to somebody else to give back. And we said, well, you do all this, because I don't know about you, but when I go out on a mission trip or when I go to Habitat, I love hammering nails, and I love pulling weeds, and I love doing all these things for other people. And it's just easy to do that. It's easy to cook for other people at the Samaritan Inn. It feels good and it feels right to do all this stuff. And then as soon as I go home and Lindsay says, you know, I'm really tired. Can you sweep the floor? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta sweep the floor. You know, how many junior high youth in here have pulled weeds for somebody else in their house or a communal organization, and then you loved it. You had the best time. And then as soon as you go home and your dad or your mom say, you know, we need you to mow the yard. Oh, man, I always got to do stuff like that. It's no fun when you're at your own house. And so we said, man, you do this all day long. You build these houses. You must just go home and be beat. They said, no, I really love to garden. And so every day I work here from 7 in the morning until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And then I go home and I do my gardening. I mow my lawn. I fix the sink. Whatever needs to be done, I just go do it. And we said, well, how do you have that much joy about keeping your own house so in line? He said, this is the thing that just stuck with me. He said, son, let me tell you something. I've worked so hard to make sure that there are only two owners of my house, me and my Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't take a single thing for granted of the freedom that that has empowered me to do. See, he had paid off his mortgage and he was keeping his house in order. And he got that in line first so that he could go out and he could help other people attain that freedom. He wanted people to have that independence, that freedom, to then go forward and multiply that. It was kind of a pay it forward attitude that he had about this whole thing. And he was so at peace knowing that everything at home was taken care of. He didn't worry about the bills. He knew he was going to do it and he knew it was going to hurt, but he knew it was going to be taken care of. And so as we are coming into our home every Sunday and multiple times throughout the week, we feel comfortable here. We feel safe here. And then come these times like stewardship and capital campaign and volunteering for VBC and all these different things that are really uncomfortable to hear because, gosh, we're at home and we got to do this stuff. When I go home, I want to put my feet up. When I go home, I don't want to have to be subject to the law. I don't want to have to be subject to all the requirements that go into this thing. I want to be free to kick my feet up and enjoy some good music. I want to be free to study. I want to be free to do those kind of things. But if our own house isn't in order, how are we going to go out and help other people gain that freedom? How are we going to make independent, grace-filled people for Christ in the world if our own house is not in order? And so we do this thing that is tedious at first. It becomes a lifelong joy. Ask anyone who's ever taught children Sunday school. Ask anyone who's ever worked with a youth group. Ask anyone who's ever been on a mission trip. Ask anyone who has gotten to that 10% tithing place. Ask anyone who's read scripture in worship. And at first, it's a burden on your time. It's a burden on your finances. It's a burden. And 5 minutes into it, it is a grace-filled freedom where you are home. And you're kicking your feet up. Even though you're serving somebody else, you feel like your feet are kicked up. And you are relaxed. And you are loving life. And there's nothing else you'd rather do. Because you fill that role and your house is in order. You are helping to make our home in order so that we might truly call it God's house. And we might be truly being a welcoming haven in the community, going out and serving in mission, going out and serving in transformational ways so that we might show videos like that every single week and we don't have enough, or that we have more than we can ever show of stories that don't come out of a building, but a building that comes out of stories.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.